The Glitch Witch. Ghost postcards from Maine. For tickets, call 942-3333 or penobscottheatre.org. Boo!
Back on Downtown 445. And it's time for a message in the bottle.
Don't believe the devil. I don't believe his book. But the truth is never the same without the lies he made up.
Message in the Bottle brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. We are joined by the only guy who could run further than Daniel Jones without falling down over nothing, Eric Meehan.
Now, listen, here's the thing. I had a wonderful back and forth with several good friends about this, and I apologize to Eli. Over Facebook, and several people felt the need to point out that there's no way that Eli could have ever been in a situation to have run that far and even get to stumble. So I don't know. Listen, you know what's really sweet is that Pat Mahomes said, "Hey, I probably would have fallen too," which everybody in the known world went right. So. That was nice to, you know, try to be like, no, it's cool, man. We all would have fallen.
Yeah, sure. You can say that if you're Pat Mahomes.
You can say pretty much say anything because dude from State Farm with jacked up arms is going to be there in a second. So anyway, hi, everybody. By the way, Rich, wonderful interview. First thing on Bruce Springsteen, that video. I can't wait to watch this thing. That was one of the best interviews I've ever heard you do. It was great.
God, it was such a man. I love Bruce. I love his music. But that, man, that documentary just it puts it in a whole new light.
I can't wait to watch it. I guess it's not just Jersey. I can't wait to. I love his description of how it all, and I obviously you've seen this thing, but, you know, being a musician myself and one who's actually particularly terrified to sort of just start trying to create music and see what happens. Stuff like that. That's so cool. But anyway, so I have like three different topics that I can sort of pick and choose from today in terms of, we never really got to Washington last week. In between, you know, uncertain months when weeks fall and in certain ways, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, sort of reiterate the North American deal. And then sometimes we also, of course, have a special Halloween edition, and there's always something fun to pick from that. So I'm going to try to sort of hit everything, and we'll see what we can do in a couple minutes.
Excellent.
As far as Washington, I've been particularly struck, if anybody read my newsletter this week, I've been rereading some of the works of John McPhee, and he's one of these guys who really can translate epic geological events and as well as other world events in an extraordinary way. And at the same time, our wine of the week is called Floodline. And this is relevant to Washington in that long ago, and I'm sure I've mentioned this a couple times on the radio, there was this gigantic lake called Lake Missoula. And the only reason it was there was that this was during the ice ages, and there was a gigantic ice sheet basically covered most of northern Idaho, which prevented several rivers from flowing freely, and therefore it created a massive, massive lake, hundreds of feet deep. And over time, the pressure of this water burst through the ice, certainly once, probably two or three times. Some people estimate up to 100 times this cycle was repeated. And when that discharge happened, it flowed, you know, directly across the north end of Idaho and straight into Washington State, into what is desert. I always, you know, remind people, much of Washington is desert, the whole eastern end of it. And so it just dug out even of solid bedrock and certainly anything else that it came across, dug out huge swaths of land, with parts of what they now call the scab land. They're very otherworldly when you look at pictures of these. And then it also carved out, or at least it deepened, the Columbia River Gorge, which crosses in and out of Oregon and Washington, respectively, and is a huge AVA, that's the American Viticultural Area, in Washington, right? So a lot of that area was carved out by these massive floods. In addition, the Willamette Valley going down into Oregon it was also really deeply carved out by these massive floods. The flood line that's referenced in our wine of the week, which happens to be an Oregon Pinot, is that level at which the flood topped out, the washing, the rapid flow, depositing all these alluvial deposits that are referenced today as the flood line for growers. That's kind of where you know where the soil type is either more beneficial or less. So really, really fascinating. I mean, dramatic geologic change happened because of those floods, and we drink really good wines because of it. I mentioned, of course, the Columbia River Valley is probably the most important part of the Washington wine scene. It's the Washington wine scene, by the way, in general, is not huge. It's getting bigger. It's the second biggest in North America. But it's about 10% of what California produces. So it's important, but it's not nearly as productive, which is, it's kind of interesting for better or worse. As I mentioned, it's desert, 17-hour summer days, can be really brutal Arctic winds in the winter, which can freeze vines, but also is bad for phylloxera, for instance. So there's a lot of vines that are actually planted on original rootstock there. So that's kind of, the pluses and minuses of being in a desert. Of course, being in a desert, you need irrigation wells, things like that. It's been active as a wine region for about 100 years, but nothing really serious until the late 70s. When a bunch of folks from University of Washington kind of built what was a hobbyist thing into Columbia Winery, and then Chateau Saint-Michel came on the scene as well, and everybody has heard of that. So that's kind of the rise of Washington. In the short time I have left, I'm going to completely change course because I just absolutely love reading this. So for the Halloween edition, we always do kind of, weird alcoholic rituals that are kind of spooky and strange. So this is the one I always like reading, all right? This is about the Japanese Shinto religion. They revere sake as the most sacred of drinks, the liquor of the gods. So what they do is they have some intense rituals, including a festival in Tonami, where people feed sake to carp in order to exorcise the waters of evil spirits. Animal rights activists are not fans of this. And then there's a winter festival during which young men drink incredible amounts of sake and defend the Shinto shrine against men wielding torches using nothing but pine branches. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's relevant to Halloween, but these are these facts that you just have to get out there for the people. I'm sure I'm running out of time. Do I have 30 seconds or so?
You have about a little over a minute.
Okay. Well, then I just wanted to make a quick plug for something that I'm going to be doing at 6 p.m. This is the second week we're doing this. Myself and Summer Allen from Valentine Footwear are going to be broadcasting live from the Downtown Bangor Partnership page. We're going to be joined by our guests, Josh Gass of the Bangor Arts Exchange and Brian Henricks of the Symphony, who are going to be safely over there in the ballroom talking to us about what they're doing to deal with COVID, some fun upcoming things, ways we can support them. And then each subsequent week we'll be talking with retailers and other folks about what's going on for the holidays, because those are rapidly approaching. So if you can, tune in. Again, the Downtown Bangor Partnership page, we're going to be doing Facebook Live, and we'll certainly share that on the Bangor Wine page after it's complete. But hope you all tune in. Otherwise, I guess I will talk to everybody next week around the same time.
Excellent. We'll look forward to it. We'll be watching tonight. Hope your week goes well, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
Perfect. Appreciate that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every week at this time, visit Eric and the crew, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.